You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Flora Feltham is a writer from Ponake, Wellington. After completing her master's in creative writing, she published Bad Archive, a book of essays through Victoria University Press. The language of Flora's essays is expressive and provides for rich creative scope. Author Rose Liu described it as idiosyncratic, warm and wry, moving seamlessly across space and time. I caught up with Flora about Bad Archive and her processes as a creative non-fiction writer. Your book is sprawling with themes weaving throughout, but each essay holds its own as a standalone work. Do you find the essay style suits you for your creative purposes?
Yeah, I really do. For me, I think when I think about the essay as opposed to, I guess, a more kind of like a single narrative long form work, I think what the essay offers is the power of association and fragmentation. So obviously my book is quite a lot about memory, and for me memory is associative, fragmented, non-linear, you know. You can jump from now to 5 years ago in your head really quickly, and there's something for me about the essay which allows for the space for that. And I think when you're working on a long form work that is essays, there's a kind of cumulative power of a series of essays that reflects the real nature of memory for me, and the real nature of the writing process, because my brain just goes from one thing to another when I'm writing, and I've kind of learned to trust that process and know that my brain understands why there's a connection between, you know, something that's happening right now that's on my mind and something which might have happened 15 years ago. So for me the essay is just really powerful in that kind of way.
I guess as well, when you can sort of sense those connections, perhaps writing the essay can help you understand them a bit more as well.
200%. I think for me that's, you know, maybe the number one purpose of writing is to kind of understand the meaning inherent in a situation which I've experienced, which maybe is kind of like murky or opaque to me, and you know, I don't find out what I think about something until I've written it down often.
How did you find the process of curating your essays and selecting the order when we think about, you know, the nature of memory and that sort of flicking between timelines?
That's such a good question. It was so the way that the order that they are in the book is just nowhere near the order in which I wrote them. I think the second to last essay is the one that I wrote first, although the last essay is the one that I wrote last.
We've got some concreteness there.
And I cannot remember for the life of me the order in which I wrote the other ones. I think a lot of it, they were also being written at the same time, so that's why there's so much cross-fertilization, I guess. I think some of it is thematic, so I really wanted to start with the essay about archiving because I feel like that sets up so much of the kind of the larger motifs of the book and sets up the kind of questions inherent and the rest of the book. So it applies those to kind of professional archiving, but I'm also asking those questions of my own life and my own memory and my personal archive. So that one had to be at the beginning. And then a lot of it was also like, practical, I guess, because I needed certain information to be revealed at certain points. And for example, there's some quite difficult essays about my relationship and about my family, and I just wanted to make sure that I'd given the reader a gentle introduction to those, so to see the relationships and to see my family before you get the kind of difficult stuff, and then also see us afterwards and see us healed and that kind of thing. And I also wanted to give people, I put some essays in between the more difficult ones just to give people a break from the heavier content. So it's kind of, I was thinking both, I guess, about themes, about the way that I wanted information to be revealed to the reader, and also to give the reader a break from some of the kind of heavier stuff, I guess. So it was kind of, both artistic, but also in some ways practical, and thinking about how I wanted the reader to experience the work and how I just didn't want them to feel completely burdened by really difficult stuff the whole time.
That makes sense. You explain in Bad Archive that you have a tendency towards filling in the gaps of people's stories when caring for their archives. While archiving is generally quite a sterile process, how do you sort of reconcile that tension you have? And is that partially what inspired you to, you know, embark on this book?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I think anyone who works in archives, you know, we're taught that it's called archival science, that it's this exact, precise thing where there are rules and regulations and, you know, it, like everything can be neatly arranged and people's lives are just, you know, can be reduced to categories that you can kind of catalogue and things like that. And you start to do it and you realise that, you know, it's such a human and messy and incredibly tender profession. And I don't know how everyone, every archivist kind of reconciles that. But for me, I think, you know, there's so much power in storytelling of any kind, so of kind of non-fictional and then the fictional. I feel like in what I tried to do in the book was make it apparent where I was kind of leaning into the more fictional side of storytelling about somebody's life.
Mm.
And I think, you know, what that fictional side of it does is I was trying to capture the kind of like emotional resonance of what it's like to be close to somebody's personal archive.
Yeah.
So to kind of like, I guess, fill in the gaps in the like real story with what I feel like maybe the emotional content could have been, but make it clear that that was me kind of making it up. I guess, you know, if the reader knows the kind of nature of the contract with the author, so they know that they're getting the kind of the content that's just like taken directly from an archive, from the primary source, and then they know that they're getting the kind of fictionalized version, I feel like there isn't actually a tension between that because the reader knows what's going on. They know that like they're in a fictional bit, or they know that they're in a kind of more quote truthful bit,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that sort of reminds me of Wallace, how there's you know, we have this sort of objects have an emotional quality, especially when they've been owned by someone that, yeah, exactly. So, you know, when it made me think of, you know, when you're left with those objects, you know, somewhere in like in an archival space, who's there to sort of recognize that emotional quality and sort of pay homage to it?
Yeah, I think about that a lot actually. And, you know, and oftentimes it's just the archivist. And I think that's the kind of the real honor and the privilege of being an archivist, is being close to this material. Something I think a lot about is, I don't know if it sounds strange, but like how like lonely it must be for the archives and for the objects to be kind of like, I guess, stripped of their like spiritual home.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it's really important that like museum objects, archival material, like actually stay really closely connected to the people who do understand them and like are connected to the emotions embedded in them. I think it's, you know, often archives and museums will like buy these objects and like they own them. And I think that's, I would like to see maybe a step away from that and actually see material left under the kind of care and, you know, tender care and control of the people who know them, love them, understand the history. And because I think these objects become, yeah, that you can strip away that knowledge by actually putting them away in an archive. And I think there are ways to like look after them and care for them and, you know, like make sure that they don't degrade, but at the same time keeping them connected to the people who actually are qualified, I think, to like spiritually understand them.
Yeah.
But that's kind of that would require a big reshuffle of the kind of profession, but, you know, I think it's possible and maybe even necessary.
How do you decide when you're going to write about something?
Very good question. Well, in the case of Bad Archive, I mean, I don't know if this is seeing behind the curtain too much, but I wrote that the year that I was at the International Institute of Modern Letters. Well, I wrote the first draft of that book when I was there, and that's a year-long creative writing course. So you are just, you kind of have to write like the wind. And
yeah.
For me, some of the essays just like turned up because they were things that I've been thinking about for a long time, like some of the experiences I had in my family when I was younger, some of the things that have happened in my relationship are just things that I've kind of been thinking about and mulling about for years. And I was like, well, maybe now's the time to actually dive into those. And like, it's stuff that's there,
yeah.
It's stuff that I don't have writer's block about.
And
yeah. Then some of the things were just like kind of like real gifts of the universe. Like, so there's an essay in there about I'm going to a Meccano conference with my dad, who's a real big Meccano guy.
Yeah.
And that just happened that year. It was in Wellington, And he was like, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, great. Had no intention of writing about it. And then afterwards I was like, that felt weirdly profound. I'm just gonna write it down. And then it turned into probably one of my favorite essays in the book. And so, and like the same with the final essay, which is about going to a romance writers conference, that was that year as well. And I was just like, I'm gonna write about this too. So it was kind of a mixture of the things that had been on my mind for a long time and kind of happenstance of things that were happening. And of course as well, a couple of those essays were actually just writing exercises that were inspired by like other essayists. So there's an essay in there about my mum. I think it's called A Portrait of My Mother, and that's inspired by an essay called A Portrait of My Father by a writer called Alexander Chi, who's incredible. It turned out really different from his essay, but I just kind of started out trying to follow his kind of mode. And so it's like, you know, a writing exercise can turn into like a really meaningful piece of work. So it's just, yeah, it's a real mixed bag. And nowadays, I don't know, I'll just kind of write about anything that's on my mind.
You know, speaking of different essayists, do you have a few sort of, you know, tried and true favourites?
Yes, I do. I would say, well, when I was writing the book, there were two books which were just my like total touchstones, and one of those is All Who Live on Islands by Rose Liu and Can You Tolerate This by Ashley Young, who are both just exceptional essayists and I think taught me how to approach even the most difficult subject matter with a real warmth and a light touch and real care for the reader. And so I would read those, essay collections anytime that I felt stuck. And I was like, oh yeah, that's how you write a sentence. That's how you put a word on the page. I also read a lot of long form essays by Ann Carson, who is primarily known as a poet, but is also an incredible prose writer. I guess those were the three kind of main touchstones when I was writing that book.
Are you working on anything new at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm kind of just trying to keep my practice going. So I have a toddler and I have a full-time job at the moment. So kind of the circumstances of my writing practice have really, really changed. So the real priority for me is just finding time to write and keep going. And if that just means like writing in my diary or writing really tiny fragments of things, that's kind of where I'm at. But I have many, many ideas for really large projects that I will hopefully get time to do soon. But at the moment, it's just keeping the practice going and putting words on paper every day if I can.
That was Poneke-based writer Flora Fulton speaking to me about her book, Bad Archive. You can purchase a copy at Time Out Bookstore or another independent bookstore near you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.